Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bella D'Angelo Show. I'm Leo Fusateri, and the guest host, and with me tonight is Bella D'Angelo.
Bella D'Angelo. Hang on one second. I'm trying
to get... Hey, how you doing, Bella?
Give me a second, Leo. Why doesn't the intro... Okay, fine. We don't have intro music tonight. It's fine. We'll fix that at some point. Gotta have a...
Hi, neighbor.
No. But A for effort, thank you. Welcome to Bella D'Angelo Show. And Leo has graciously decided to join on with me for this adventure. I have to start out with a little bit of humor. So last night, as I was driving in, I was introducing Rick and Kim, very good friends of mine, to another friend of mine, Carol. And so Rick was asking who Carol was. It was a multi-text. And so once I said it's Carol, who I refer to as my spiritual friend, he said, ah, got it. And then Rick said back to Carol, she has a wonderful judge of character. Nice to meet you. And so then I chimed in and I said, I don't know how highly you could speak of my judge of character. I mean, I do try to date serial killers. And then I continue to seek out serial killers to continue to date them. Do you even know, have you ever tried online dating, Leo, ever?
I haven't tried online dating, but I was wondering, as long as we're talking about serial killers, if we could mention our sponsor for this hour. Because we are sponsored by a serial, believe it or not. Yes, this segment of the Bella D'Angelo Show is brought to you this evening by Wokies, the new breakfast cereal for Biden voters. The only cereal formulated with recycled bull excrement, so it's sustainable. And with that bland, rancid, milk-toasty taste, it'll have you fondly pining for breadlines and gulags. Wokies, now fortified with vitamins L, S, and D. When you really need to deny reality, you need Wokies. Available at a food co-op near you. Take it away, Bo.
I love it. So here's what I really, you know, I have always had been an eternal optimist. And nothing has been driving me more aggravated than all of the negativity, all of the doom and gloom. I listened to it for over 5 years out in the oil field, my first round out in Williston. You know, nothing was stopping Hill the Beast. We were under Obama's reign of terror. And I listened to people, and I talked to people. I talked to an awful lot of people all the time. And I've had this different sense about the direction of this country. I've had it for a long time, and I've been right about a lot of things. I had a conversation with a friend of mine months ago, one of the doom and gloomers, when I said, you know, all these big predictions about the collapse of the economy, the collapse of the dollar, digital currency, you know, under lock and key and complete control after the COVID madness, martial law, the disruption of the election. I was listening to that during my 5 years from 2010 to 15. And what did it bring us? It brought us Trump. Okay. The difference is now that we don't have a leader that's even perceived as a leader. And there's been this belief of mine that all of these things that are happening, everything is blown up, the border's wide open, the economy's in the tank, and then you try to look to this leader and you got to ask yourself, can you look at him with any vote of belief of confidence? When everything else is going wrong, at least you could look at Obama when Obama was in office, and you could believe he was a leader. He was eloquent. He was well-spoken. He was polished. Hell, he did such a good job. He had a lot of the country convinced that he was doing the right thing for America, even though he was fundamentally changing America. Okay? So whether I'm in the chiropractor's office, which was weeks ago, and the 18-year-olds, I asked them, are you voting in November? They both said yes, and they both said Trump. When asked, I said, they both said that they don't follow politics. And I said, okay, if you're telling me you're voting for Trump, it must be because when you look at the two, Trump is perceived as presidential and Biden is not. Fast forward to last night. I'm driving in to watch the Iowa caucus. By the way, if you'd like to join us tonight, we have a call-in number, and it is 515-602-9794. 515-602-9794. I'm excitedly driving in to watch the caucus. I've been down in Redwood Falls working with my beautiful mare, Hottie, and I stop at Cub Foods. And, Leo, I'm checking out, and I just looked at the kid, and I said, you must be excited to watch the caucus tonight. And he said, I don't pay attention to politics. And I said, okay, are you voting in November? And he said, yes. And I said, Trump or Biden? And he said, Trump. And I said, ooh, what'd you do in 2020? I just tell that he... And you know what he said to me, Leo? He said, I did vote for Biden in 2020. He says, I don't like what he's done to this country.
Yep.
That is no
well,
great
you know
talk.
Well, then you see people on Twitter that are just gushing over Biden. I don't know if they're paid operatives to do that or whatever. But in order to believe in Biden, it's like watching a really funky horror movie where you have to suspend disbelief because it's so poorly done. You have to suspend disbelief to get yourself into it. I think that's what people have to do. They have to close their eyes to what's happening, suspend disbelief, and just, you know, throw their hope and throw their trust, their childlike trust in that things are going to work out because Democrats somehow care about them and care about, you know, giving
know
them
that,
what they
no, no, no. The,
want.
The gig is up. The gig is up. The gig is up. They know. So stick with me on this. So that was the conversation at the register. Only to come home and watch, first of all, no nominee has ever taken 50%, okay? Donald hit 50%. He took 98 of the 99 counties in all of Iowa. Leo, if you're still moving around, you got to sit still because I don't know what I'm hearing, but we'll work on that. But the thing is I got up today and I'm driving in. And I'm listening to Mike Gallagher. I listen to Fox News. The fact about the young that came out in support of him. First-time people that have never voted in a caucus before are now voting in a caucus. I picked up the phone, and I called Mike Gallagher's radio show this morning. They put me on air with Mike. He said, how are you doing? I said, great. I said, you know what, Mike? I said... I explained the story about Cub Foods last night, and I said, you know, the backbone of this country are the people that pay the hourly wage, that are paid the hourly wages and that wait on us at the register. The difference is the wage they were making under Trump, they could afford to live, feed their family, and enjoy the reason that they get up and go to work and take care of their family, go out and do things. The same does not apply now under Bidenomics. Those wages are not allowing them to take care of their family. And he said, that is so prophetically true and well-spoken. The problem is in this country is that you cannot afford to live anymore without two or three jobs, without paying, using your credit cards just to get out the door to put fuel in your tank, groceries on the table, and God forbid, even think about any type of vacation. The border is wide open. The economy is destroyed. Internationally, we have absolutely no ground because we have no leader. We have everything is on fire. But what I never have lost sight of or hope is the patriots and the Americans and us, we, me, you, thee, who have experienced what 2016 brought. We also lost a lot of our belief after 2020. But now going into 3-4 years of what this administration has done, it has built what I told Mike Gallagher the new silent majority is, the young, the disenfranchised voter. Those that, think about this, 2020 was more than a stolen election. 2020 was an emotional election. The mainstream media had produced the belief, orange man, bad man, 24/7. I remember my little yoga hot pants, God bless my mother, came out and got in the truck one day and told me vile F-bomb words about Trump. I didn't even know she'd ever said those words before. She was a microcosm of what the media was doing to people. But we are seeing the fact that most presidents get 2 terms unless a destroyed economy, the inflation, and there's no end in sight. And it doesn't stop and it doesn't slow down. And they are trying to take away our liberties. They are trying to force us to live the green new way. I have to laugh because I used to say when I lived in North Dakota, try and take an electric vehicle. First of all, take an electric vehicle, wrap yourself with a solar panel, and shove a windmill up your arse, and then get in that electric vehicle. And, Leo, how far do you think you're going to get with that EV from Fargo to Williston in the middle of winter at minus 50?
Maybe 75 miles.
If that.
If you're lucky.
They're paperweight. They're paperweight because
I just saw a story that a bunch of electric cars are stranded now in Fargo. They've been waiting to get their cars charged up, and they're just stranded there because they just don't work when it's this cold.
No, they don't. If you would like to join us, the call-in number is 515-602-9794. Again, 515-602-9794. The thing is what I have, when I started this show way back in 2010, my frustration was that nobody reported good news, nobody was optimistic, nobody invigorated. I fully believe that I don't know if you heard Newt Gingrich. He made this statement. He said, Trump is not a nominee. He is a leader fighting a national movement, the control of the establishment. And that's what it is. It is a movement, and it is a movement that has been building ever since Biden and company got into office, because it was not one thing they destroyed. It was everything that they destroyed. And it doesn't stop. It hasn't slowed down. It continues to go. And it's building the Trump train once again, because I said this a long time ago. If Trump wasn't running, I wouldn't be this enthusiastic at all. I think that DeSantis doesn't have the charismatic energy. He doesn't have the vision. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the kahunas to back Rocket Man down or to silence Putin and put him in the right place. Vivek, I think he's come out of nowhere. He mimics Trump, but he also flip-flopped. And I think he could be a little bit dangerous. We don't know enough about him. Nikki Haley is backed by the establishment and a lot of Democrats. And outside of that, you know, we all know basically the Republican-Democrat Party are one and the same. That's why we've had all these problems. That's why Trump was called the disruptor. And when you look at what is happening to this country is at a point where we cannot lose in November. And I know that back in 2020, Leo, when I was doing the podcast when COVID was being utilized to terrorize the world, I thought that all of the perversion that is being pumped into schools and the rights and liberties and all of the things that were being taken away, that was going to turn not only the local elections here, like when we unfortunately got Walz back in office, we didn't get Scott Jensen, the election was stolen from us. But when you listen to everyday Americans, they're not even feeling confident about putting their kids into school. They can't stand the curriculum being taught. Then they come home, they got to go to the grocery store, they got to go to the gas station, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their hope, and then they turn on the TV and what do they see? They see Joe that is waving in the air, walking off stage, mumbling, has to be led around by his wife. I mean, we've never seen this country in such decline with a geriatric dementia patient that is being carted around, and as if we're to believe that he's actually in charge of anything. So this the other day when the defense secretary went in the hospital and you know, nobody had told Biden, tell Biden what? For all we know, he's injected with as much medication as possible just to get the few words out that he manages to try and get out. He's probably, unfortunately, just sucking on ice cubes, you know, in bed the rest of the time. I mean, we have no idea how severely compromised he is, but we also know we can't take 4 more years of this administration. Leo, I will breathe because I invited you here and I've been stealing the stage. Go ahead, Leo.
That's okay. I think what we saw in Iowa last night was the blowback, the Trump, the grand Trump derangement system, their syndrome blowback. I think for myself, you know, I think Ron DeSantis is a great governor of Florida. He stood up to the mouse. He stood up to a lot of the leftist cabal in Florida. And I think he's done a really good job overall. I think he did a masterful job for the most part during the COVID years. And so I would have personally I would be comfortable with Ron DeSantis as president. Having said that, you know, not that I'm not comfortable with Trump as president, because I'm comfortable with Trump too. But having said that, I have no choice except to support President Donald Trump, because for no other reason than the slings and arrows he has received courtesy of the American taxpayer, as all these governmental agencies and agents and the judicial system has been weaponized against a private citizen. He has been denied his civil rights as an American citizen. They are, it's total Soviet-styled tyranny against Donald Trump, and they cannot prevail. If they prevail, our nation is toast. Because they did it, do it to Trump. They're going to do it to Donald Trump. They're going to do it to conservative groups. They're going to do it to you. They're going to do it to me. We are finished as a nation if Donald Trump does not prevail in November. And so that's why we have to all throw our full-throated support and monetary support, whatever else support, toward Donald Trump. The Democrats cannot win. They cannot, or else we are finished as a nation, period, end of story.
I would.
And I'm not when you, the when only you look, one who's thinking about that. I mean, everybody who voted for Trump, I would say at least 90% of the people who voted for Trump in Iowa are probably thinking the same thing. This cannot stand.
When you look at the last coming on, we're into our fourth year. Prior to that, we had 4 years. When you put back to back, when you juxtapose 4 years of, you couldn't get more further off in the way this country was. I'm going to start. We had patriotism and an American spirit like nothing we've ever seen. We had a man come down an escalator that was laughed at, joked at, and even some of the most biggest political heads were against him. Mark Levin was against him for a long time. I think it was, I'm blanking on her name. Oh, not Martha. Nobody thought he had a chance. I believe that Donald Trump looked at his grandbabies and his children and said, if somebody doesn't go in and do this, there won't be a country, an American dream for my children or for this country. He didn't have to go and do this. And he took every sling going into 16 and the 4 years that he was in there. What did he do when he was in there? Something that we had never been before was energy independent. We were drilling and supplying our own oil. I'm an oil field girl. I can tell you right now there's only 28 rigs barely hanging on in North Dakota. We have more oil in North Dakota than Saudi Arabia. We can be energy efficient again. Do you know what energy efficiency does to the cost of living? It drives down because the cost at the pump goes down. Therefore, transportation goes down. Therefore, cost of goods and food go down. Okay? It's a cycle. It's not that oil companies are trying to tax and over-profitize. No, that's not it. Okay? We had international respect. Anytime Rocket Man or Putin or anybody did anything, all he had to do was lob a tomahawk, pick up the phone, silence. He got in Rocket Man's head, okay? He stood with Bibi. Do you know what Biden did the other day? Hung up on Bibi. Trump brought this country together, divided, yes, by media, but I'm talking about brought the America together with hope, prosperity, the American spirit, the American dream. You turned on the TV, you saw a man that said, we are making America great again, and he was. We get
you
up
said
to the
that
2020.
Word, prosperity. There you go. Yes. That's a key word right there, prosperity. Have you ever, in the last, 15 years, heard a Democrat on the campaign trail, on the stump, utter the word prosperity? I haven't. I've heard a Republican or two. I've heard Donald Trump utter it, but I have not heard a Democrat utter the word prosperity. Prosperity, a prosperous people, is not a good thing for Democrats. A prosperous people are also an independent people. Democrats do not like independent people. They like control. They do not like prosperity because prosperity wrests control away from them and people, as people live more self-determined lives. I think that's what it all comes down to.
I'm going to read something. I've been trying to get this gentleman to come on my show. Don Bumgarner, I'm going to let you know that I'm quoting you. Don writes on Facebook, much of the left's argument for the past couple of years has been that Donald Trump is roundly hated across the country, both by his own party and by the electorate at large. They count on everyone believing this, believing in fact that even if you support him yourself, you must be in a minority because most people hate him. Last night's numbers in Iowa aren't just impressive on their own. as a presidential caucus statistic. Sorry. They are impressive in other way too. Among all kinds of Republican caucus in Iowa, urban, suburban, and rural, he was so popular that he won every county in the state. Actually, it was 98 of the 99. Winning 51% is impressive enough in a big field like this. You know that if Haley and DeSantis weren't, Trump would have gotten well over 70%. But winning virtually everywhere is even more so. It's almost enough to make you think that maybe, just maybe, all that stuff about how most people hate him just might be a lie. I fully believe that. I do not believe. I had a conversation the other day with Michelle Armstrong, my realtor, and she kept saying how he's hated, he's hated, he's hated. I don't see that. But then again, I'm Bella, and I talk to everybody when I go to the grocery store, the gas station, the Subway, McDonald's. My McDonald's down the street for me, everybody's voting for Donald Trump, okay? If you want to have some optimism, talk to people. Talk to the people that wait on us at the cash register, because those are the people, the backbone of this country, that are feeling the most pain. Well, guess what? Those are the people that felt that the Democrat Party was looking out for them. No, they're not looking out for them. They're not looking out for anybody. All they are doing is destroying this company, this country, but it is turning on them. Because you know what? We had 4 years of prosperity, patriotism, cheap gas prices. We could afford to go to the grocery store. We could afford to go out to eat. We could afford to go on our vacations. We could afford, and we could look forward to the future. We're not looking forward to the future right now. We're barely making by. We're paycheck to paycheck, and our debt is rising. Our credit card costs are rising because we're relying on them. And then we turn on the TV, and he stutters, he yammers, he talks to dead people, he falls, he trips. And the media is complicit, compliant. But that's okay, because that's the media. We have tuned out the media a long time ago. And why can I say we tuned out the media a long time ago? Because the results were in the Iowa caucus last night. And Don goes on to say, not to say that there aren't people who hate him. Of course there are. Heck, there are people who hate me, and I'm a teddy bear, can be said about me. There are people who will hate everybody, but when a candidate is so popular that he wins all the 99 counties, no, it was 98, in a state like Iowa, that says a lot. I have to completely agree. And I also believe that this is a premonition of what is to come in November. This is not going to be a dead runaway that he's got it, but the momentum is building. You know, Leo, we'd be having a completely different conversation right now if, say, DeSantis got ahead or Trump had a dismal showing in Iowa. But this is the mouthpiece of what is to come in the November election.
Yep, Iowa was the middle America sticking up its middle finger toward the media and toward the Democrats. We're supposed to hate them,
Well, I mean, they kept hyping about the fact, they kept hyping that, you know, the turnout was going to be low because it was going to be so cold. And I'm sorry, but I even had people texting me today asking me if I'd froze my cute little tail off out there. Okay, first of all, it's winter, everybody. We're used to this. We're Midwesterners. We're used to sub-temperatures in the middle of January. That's what happens. That's why I was not concerned about any weather. It wasn't even extreme weather down in Iowa. But here's the thing.
Until you move
we
to Arizona.
Should be,
go ahead.
Yeah, you're the one that ran away from Minnesota to enjoy Arizona. I'm envious of you. But here's the thing. We should be embracing and excited and running around and spreading the optimism. I don't understand a lot of the end of time, the classes right around the corner. I guess people just don't get out and understand this country's been through an awful lot. This country also knows a lot. We've been awake for a long time. Bill O'Reilly was talking to Andrew Wilkow on the Wilkow Majority the other day, and he was talking about how everybody's drank the Kool-Aid and that Trump maybe has a shot. Well, then how the hell did we get him elected in 16? We had him elected in 2020, but they flat out stole it. After 2020, what was Biden supposed to do? Biden was supposed to be the great sleepy Joe that was going to unify the country, and I don't know what the hell else they thought he was going to do, but I do know that there was an awful lot of people that voted out of what I was talking about earlier, that emotional vote. They were tired of the tweets. They believed the media. They thought that there was going to be some mending. What happened shortly after Biden got in office? How quickly did gas prices rise?
They got free ice cream.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Hey, if you want to join in, the call-in number, 515-602-9794, 515-602-9794. The war in Ukraine just continued on and on. I mean, everything and anything. And meanwhile, when we're looking, they're looking, not me, but those that voted for him, were looking for direction, answers on inflation, on gas prices. What was talked about? Transgenderism. Transgenderism. I mean, there was nothing, you know, Jean-Pierre, whatever her name was, all she does is spew and turn. And I mean, we don't even have a reputable White House correspondent to look to. I mean, there was no adult or answers or anything that was reassuring everyday American that walked in and checked the box for Biden. This is what I said a long time ago. They're walking away, and they may not be saying it out in public, but they're going to say it in the booth. And when you start walking around asking the youth,
yeah, right now the idiocracy is in charge, and incompetence is almost seen as a virtue with the powers that be nowadays.
And then you've got Hunter. We'll probably wrap this up. We were going to stick with 30 minutes. Again, if anybody wants to join in, 515-602-9794. The thing is I've been doing this, you know, the 5 years when I was in Williston, North Dakota, the first 5 years of doing this show, there was no hope. There was no optimism. Everybody was completely convinced that there was no stopping Hillary. I never backed down. I never stopped. I never gave up. I got in my pickup truck every single night, and I was doing the show back then 5 nights a week. The problem back then was it was really hard to get people to understand what Obama was really doing. And then, like I said earlier, he was so he came across classy and polished, and you could believe what he had to say. Guys, we're living in completely different times, and I don't know how else to get you to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to walk out and I'm going to talk to people and get some optimism and get some motivation and get people listening, get people tuning into the Bella D'Angelo show, because we are living in historic times. There is a reason that Donald J. Trump is running this time. And it's not about his ego. I believe there is a divine intervention. There is something more going on in this country. You know what it's called? It's called the United States of America. What makes us great? What makes this country great? It's the people. What happened in 16? It's the Republican Party did not steal the election for the win for Donald Trump. No, what happened? We showed up. And after the 16 election, I walked around and heard the same sentiments as what I heard in the Iowa caucus. I walked around and I heard people tell me to my face they had finally voted for the first time ever in their life. What happened in Iowa last night? Iowans showed up saying, this is the first time I've voted in a caucus. What else happened last night? The young. You know, I was driving. I was going to go swimming tonight at Lifetime Fitness. I was down with Dennis Oslam. If anybody out there in the horse world needs some help with their horse and they need to turn them around, private message me. I'll get you in touch with Dennis. He's doing amazing work with my mare. I'm so blessed to have Dennis working with my mare. I'm so blessed to have my mare, Hottie. I was driving back, and I've got a little Trump sticker on the back bumper. You know, a girl that looked like she was about maybe 18 years old was laying on the horn and giving me a thumbs up and pointing to the back of the truck. I'm going to put Trump on the back of my truck, a big sticker. There is a movement happening, and I don't want to discredit the intellect of this country. I've seen it time and time again, and I hear it all the time when I say things like what I did to the gentleman at the cash register at Cub Foods last night. It was a couple of weeks ago when I was at the gas station, and I asked the gentleman, will you be voting? And he said he didn't know. And I said, well, I'll bet you notice a difference when you're buying your groceries. And he said, yeah. And I said, I'll bet you notice gas prices. He said, and now that you mention it, Biden can't even finish a sentence. We are an aware country. We are not asleep. We have not drank the Kool-Aid. Yes, there's always that percentage. But we are a country still fighting for the American dream, the American spirit, and that optimism, that patriotism. When you look at the fact, the unexplainable, it's unexplainable to some. It's not unexplainable to me. I completely understand why every indictment that was slapped on Donald J. Trump's head, why it built more of his support. Because we knew, and it showed in the numbers last night, what, 69% of the turnout believes that Biden was illegitimate? People know and understand what's happening, and people want our country back. We want our leader back. We want the man that showed up and delivered what he campaigned on, making America great again. Closing thoughts. Leo?
Amen. So any ideas on who, or any guesses on who do you think Trump will pick as a VP?
So, you know, I listen to talk radio all day long when I drive around, and I've heard names like Tucker Carlson, which they were talking about it this morning, and Mike Gallagher was saying that he talked to Seth Gorka, and he knew who it was, and we were going to be really, really happy and surprised. My friend Rick told me he thought maybe Ben Carson or Nikki Haley. I don't think that either of those two are even viable or even good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Haley would
be a disaster.
Yeah, I think what Trump's going to do is going to be over-the-top showmanship. It's going to rock. Whoever he, she is, it's going to rock. I was listening to, who was this afternoon, and they thought maybe Tim Scott. I don't know. All I know is that I have a lot of hope and optimism. I've always had a very good sixth sense, and I've always had belief in the everyday, hardworking American who gets up every day, who goes to work, and who wants to provide for their family, their future, and for this country. The light went out in 2020. You and I talked about this weeks ago when you said you felt that the life and the oxygen got sucked out of us after 2020. And we didn't really see a lot of hope. And I believe that the Iowa caucus proved that we are alive and fighting, and we want to fight for this country, because this country has been put through purposeful dismantling and destruction. This is the worst. What this administration has done is even worse than Jimmy Carter. And yet, I believe
Carter's intentions
the country
were good.
Was correct. And I believe
I don't ascribe
the country,
good intentions to the current bunch.
I believe that the country was far less awake in Carter's era than now. I believe that Trump changed the platform of the presidential race from the very first time that he debated, even in 16, when he laid everybody out with all of those nicknames and he called everybody out on stage. I believe that this country started fighting for Donald Trump. But do you remember when he was debating Hillary Clinton? What was the line that he laid out, Leo? Do you remember the line that he laid out that I believe turned the tables for him and really started to build the support for him? Do you remember what he said to Hillary?
He said so many things, I'm not sure which one you're referring to, but
the one that stood out the most was when they were talking about the Department of Justice and that Hillary was bragging that Trump was not going to be president and the ramifications if he oversaw the Department of Justice, and he spun on his heels and he said, "That's because I would lock you up." Do you know that every Schlitz malt liquor, beer drinking, grain belt, salt of the earth, guy and gal, blue collar, hardworking, threw their hands in the air and said, "You've got my support." That's when the silent majority really started to build for that man. You know why?
Because
you know what?
Everybody was kind of, are you there?
Because
I think
said
it's because
what everybody has wanted, the president of the United States and everybody running for that office to turn around and look at Hilda Beast and say, "We're going to lock you up." She should have been locked up
well, we
years
never did.
Ago. There were a lot of things learned in that first term.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he running now? Because I believe it is a divine intervention. I believe that there is a reason for everything. I believe. I've believed in this country for a long time. That's why I don't give up. And there is hope. And you know what? When you have hope in your hand, you have to spread it around. Because sometimes it has to get the darkest before the light comes out. And that's what we are witnessing. And I told myself, as I told you, Leo, as I've told a few friends, even if we only start out with a few people listening, it's a start. We're starting the show back up. We've been off the air for some time. It's been a rough year and a half for myself, but even personally, it gets dark before the light comes out. And so many things are turning in the right direction for myself personally and for the country. And that's why we have to unite and we have to get out. We got to fight, baby, fight. Closing statement, Leo, and then I'm going to close it out. Leo? Did I lose
Iowa.
You, Leo?
I don't think
there you
so.
Go. You cut out for
I
a
had
second.
On mute there.
Closing statement there.
Yeah, I had on mute for a second. Okay, I believe Iowa does give me a lot of hope. There were a lot of people actually predicting what would happen in Iowa, and they were correct, you included. And that does give me a lot of hope. We'll have to see what happens in New Hampshire and everything like that. And we're in the liberal East and that type of thing when with regard to Haley. Now she says it's a two-person race, even though DeSantis was ahead of her. So I don't know where she gets that from. But and I think DeSantis has a lot more staying power than Haley anyway, because DeSantis voters and Trump voters are not that far off the market. Trump gets the nod. The DeSantis voters are going to go to Trump. I don't know if you can say the same thing about the about her voters. So.
Nikki Haley, I have no idea.
She's a non-factor.
I have no idea why DeSantis is still in this race. I mean, there's no... Explain to me then, Leo, how in the hell would DeSantis catch up to Trump?
I think he's just staying in the race just to stay in the race right now.
Why?
I don't think in the back of his mind that he thinks he's going to win. I can't crawl on his head and say why right now.
Here's the thing. If the goal is to beat Biden, get the hell out of the way and get your support behind Trump. Quit wasting everybody's time. Quit wasting your money. Quit running around. All you're doing is slowing down what can be the quicker building. They have egos. They have reasons. I don't get it. I want them out. I want them done. I don't want to hear it. I think Nikki is delusional. I think Mark Levin made a very great point when he said she's got a lot of advisors. She pays a lot of money to that tell her to say a lot of stupid stuff like, oh, now that I saw the results from tonight, I know that I'm going on to get... No, you're not going anywhere, Nikki. You need to wrap up your little suitcase and take your little skirt and head on down the highway. DeSantis, you need to go back down to Florida and take care of Florida and let... Put your support behind Trump and let's get this bad boy wrapped up so that we can knock them out and take them out. Here's the thing. We do this in November. We get Trump back in. We start drilling. I love the fact that Trump was asked if he was going to be a dictator, and he said yes for one day. This was on Hannity. He said he was going to drill, baby, drill, and close the border. What's one of the number one issues last night was the border. Drilling, okay? We get these things in place. I would be hard-pressed to understand what direction the Democrat Party would go after Trump getting in office, because the only way that I see the Democrat Party truly being able to take control again is to have a Donald Trump revamp the Democrat Party the way that Trump has vamped the Republican Party. Trump is not... The Republican Party and the Democrat Party are no different. The difference is Trump is not a politician. He's not establishment. He's a true destroyer and leader, and he is leading the battle to take the power away from the establishment. Now more than ever, we saw just how dangerous and overreaching the establishment is, and that's why I say this is a divine intervention, and we got to fight, baby, fight. And I do believe that the path ahead of us, there is a battle, but last night was a big battle cry in the direction of victory. Leo, thank you for your participation tonight. Oh, I must be tired. It's been a long day, but I am excited to be back on the air and getting the word out.
I'm excited to be here, too.
Good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.
That task.
All right.
You're going to write for people 100 years from now who know all about us. We know nothing about them. We don't know what kind of a world they'll be living.
This segment of the Bella D'Angelo Show is brought to you this evening by Wokies, a new breakfast cereal for the Biden voters. The only cereal formulated with recycled bowl excrement, so it's sustainable. Deal with that bland, rancid, milk, toasty taste that will have you fondly pining for bread lines and gulags. Wokies, now fortified with vitamins L, S, and P. When you really need to deny reality, you need Wokies, available at a food co-op near you. Thanks so much, Bella. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week, Tuesday.
Thanks, Leo. Good night. Turn the lights off.